Hey, welcome to the Power Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm Jake Rosenberg, and I'm here with my co-host, Jacob Usani, and this is the show for entrepreneurs and business owners to get a behind-the-scenes look at how the uber-successful around us think and operate. He's the CEO of Sports One Marketing, a Forbes Top 10 keynote speaker, award-winning humanitarian, two-time national best-selling author, and 25 years of experience as an entrepreneur and executive in the legal, technology, sports, and entertainment fields. With expertise across many industry verticals, he's uniquely positioned as a world-renowned thought leader, business strategist, and leading humanitarian. Throughout his extensive professional career, David Meltzer has managed process and practices, including the creation and implementation of strategies and tactics for beginning and scaling a business, recruitment and management, sponsorships, endorsements, go-to marketing planning, and execution. He's always willing to help people who are looking to improve their personal and professional life. And today, we're honored and excited to sit down with Dave here on the Power Entrepreneurs Podcast. David, thank you so much for joining us on the Power Entrepreneur today.
I am so excited to be a Power Entrepreneur on the Power Entrepreneur. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you grew up and what got you into the business world?
You know, it's really simple for me. At 5 years old, my dad left and I grew up poor and very happy. I had an extraordinary mom who had traditional beliefs. I joke around and say she was a black belt in the martial arts, the martial art of Jewish guilt. But that drove us to satisfy, you know, her dreams of us being educated. Her philosophy was the fetus wasn't fully developed till after graduate school, as well as, you know, doctor, lawyer, or failure. For me, I had one simple goal in life since I was five, and it was to be rich, which is attuned to being an entrepreneur. But the reason I wanted to be rich wasn't because I thought I needed anything. It was simply that the only time I wasn't happy was when I caught my mom crying because we didn't have enough money for food, for car, for fixed or summer camp or college, whatever it was the only time that I saw that my mom wasn't happy, which made me unhappy. And so I went on a quest to figure out the best way I could make money, and whether it be to be a professional football player, a doctor, a lawyer, Silicon Valley, you know, technology expert, investor, leading CEO of the most notable sports agency or sports marketing company, media, podcast or TV show or whatever it is, I've been driven to make a lot of money, although money has taken on a different energy and meaning throughout the journey.
So at what point throughout this journey did you realize that money isn't just, you know, buying happiness, but there's something more that money can bring into life? What kind of kicked that off in your mind?
You know, I think for me, it was when I had everything I ever dreamed of. I was a millionaire 9 months out of law school, bought my mom a house and a car, continued to be driven by what I owned, what I had, how much money I made. And eventually I had everything I ever dreamed of. And for the first time in my life, I was empty and not happy. And I realized through a process that, you know, money doesn't buy love, but it is one of the most important things in this life because it allows you to shop. And so whatever allows you to shop, shopping is another word for manifest or getting what you want. Money allows you to do that. And if you use your money to shop for the right things, for acceleration and exponential growth in the universe, to help others, to be of service. You know, for example, when I was 50 years old, I used my money to build two community centers in Africa, which impacted millions of people. Those are the type of things that I like to use my money with.
Mm. So I've heard you, you know, talk a lot in the past about how you used to have a big, a hard time dealing with your personal ego and how you kind of transitioned that into doing good for the world. I think a great point that you made was that we all have ego within us. There's this yin yang that's just a part of life. How does someone kind of take that darker side that's within everybody, the maybe the negative energy that we have going on, and transition that and use it to do good in this world?
Well, I think number one is awareness, right? The ego exists in everyone. It still is a definite big part of my life is understanding the ego, being aware of when I'm out of trajectory, creating resistance, void, shortages, and obstacles in my life. And so understanding what the ego is the first step. And so through my journey, when I started realizing that the ego isn't just being arrogant, right, which was definitely part of my ego, it's not just the need to be superior. It's the need to be inferior and separate. It's the need to be right. It's the need to be offended, resentful, guilty, attacking, angry, frustrated. It's the need to have fear. And the confusion a lot of people have is that fear itself, right? They think fear is a motivator. People tell me all the time, oh, if I'm not afraid, I'm not going to be motivated. I said, fear is not a motivator, right? Fear is a mechanism in which your natural being allows you to focus. So people confuse focus instead of motivation. Fear actually sucks you dry of energy. It demotivates you. It's not an inspiration. Fear itself is the ability to focus. So what we have to do is utilize something unnatural. Since the ego is the natural way that we focus through fear, we have to use something unnatural called habits. And those habits are formulated and directed towards the consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential by what we do every day, because it goes from our cellular memory into our neural pathways, which take at least 21 days to formulate, which then can actually activate and deactivate our DNA, which is manifested or illustrated by our personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions, as well as something that's completely obsequious, the unconscious competency of energy, so that people think they do believe all the right things and wonder why they can't break through, wonder why they have an internal thermostat, wonder why they're in the same place that they were or worse. It's simply because they don't understand the ego and fear, and they're using fear, which only focuses you, as a motivator when it actually sucks you dry of all your inspiration and energy and allows the limitations, the beliefs, the core competencies, the unconscious competencies, et cetera, to stay in place so that you can't get what you want.
So this kind of all boils down to the foundation that we all build our lives on and what we believe in. So for the people that are listening out there that feel that they, maybe their foundation is where they need to get started, as we all do, what are some points that we can all focus on to build upon, to kind of figure out what it is we're trying to do and to direct that the right way?
So everyone has their own personal values and everyone has their own personal priorities. I utilize my calendar as the basis for foundation to figure out what I'm doing. And I'm a student of that calendar. So whether it's in person, on the phone, via email, or all media, radio, print, TV, social media, whatever it may be, I utilize that to focus in on what I'm doing to maximize my potential. And that trajectory from that which I find in my calendar, that direct trajectory and a consistent, persistent pursuit of that directory or that potential is exactly where I want to stay. So I have to know not only where I'm going, the what, I also have to know my why, the purpose, but most importantly, the how. So many people talk about the why and they get romanticized about what it takes to do things, that you got to be motivated and inspired and blah, 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 blah. You know, that's not how I believe it happens. I think, number one, most people, 99.9% of them, don't know their what. And two, out of those 99.9% of them, they may have a why, but they absolutely don't know how. And until you can correct the what, why, and how altogether, you'll never be able to achieve what the mind can conceive. The how is a matter of two questions. One, how can you be of service? And two, do you know anybody that can help me? And when you can accelerate and exponentially grow by utilizing the flow of the universe, because faith is just like money, right? Faith is the aggregate of what you think, say, do, believe, and those unconscious competencies that I talked about previously. When you use that faith in the right direction, in the pursuit of your potential, in the trajectory, without allowing the resistance, void, shortages, and obstacles of the ego to take you off of trajectory so that you don't end up in the exact way, it takes a simple process of awareness to say, look, I'm not in the direct trajectory of what or my why, and I definitely won't have the how if I'm going the wrong way on the freeway. So now I have to formulate and put all these things together in order to effectuate. I'm in the ego. I'm stopping because I know where my center is, because I actually meditate in the morning and find where my baseline is, where I'm in the flow, utilizing a currency, an object of energy into the flow or the current that faith allows me, not just to shop for what I want in the pragmatic world of Amazon, but also shop what I want in the surrealistic world, the infinite world of intention, where anything that I intend with the what, why, and how can become mine, even if everyone else on earth doesn't believe it's possible.
So do you believe it's necessary to meditate to be able to reach that point? I know a lot of people have this kind of hard feelings against meditation. Oh, I don't need meditation in my life. Is that what it kind of depends on, or is there maybe other methods that people could use to focus themselves as well?
Well, I think people have, and so did I when I was younger, they don't understand what meditation is, right? So most of the universe prays, right? Most of the universe put their faith into things. Most of the universe breathes, right? So meditation is just all of those things combined. People have different forms and ways that they meditate. Some are more productive than others, but everybody at one time or another, they meditate. I was one of those people that didn't think I had time to meditate, to have a formalized practice of meditation, to have a consistent, persistent pursuit of my truth through meditation. I always thought that I had controlled everything and I made it happen. But when I discovered through meditation that not only could I surrender, but that I could utilize the laws of attraction through focused action, but even utilizing a hyper-aggressive state of allowance, which I used to think meant sitting home high on my mom's couch, sick and broke, where now I think of allowance as being hyper-aggressive, that not only am I thinking, saying, doing, believing all the right things, not only am I taking action and utilizing the law of attraction combined with the law of Goya, which John Assaroff indicated is the law of getting off your ass, but I have a hyper-aggressive state of activity, a hyper-aggressive state of action, which is called allowance. And allowance is the accumulation or aggregate of all of that action and attraction combined, plus the ability to raise my awareness through some sort of peaceful state of mind, however you attain that, to get out of my own way, to counteract the ever-existing ego that creates fear and detracts or destroys or dissolves my inspiration. But instead, I have utilized habits and discipline in order to effectuate focus and made myself a vehicle in which if I get off of track, I stop and go back to center, put myself into the flow, and utilize meditation to do that. If I get off of track, I stop and go back to center, put myself into the flow, and utilize meditation to do that.
So this is all so important. There's so many great, points that you built your personal life on. Now, bringing it into the business world, running a company, how do you bring what is so important to you in your life that you know will bring you towards success and bring that into your company and make sure the people that work alongside you or beneath you in your company are kind of following that same trajectory to some extent?
Well, first of all, you know, I don't decipher between my businesses and my life. I believe there's activity I get paid for and activity I don't get paid for. I try to infuse purpose and passion and profitability into everything that I do. I do that under core values, one of gratitude, which makes my past better, my present even better than that, and my future brighter. Empathy, which is forgiveness. I'm consistently forgiving myself, which allows me to have that come through me to forgive others. Accountability, where I take complete control of my life, personal and professional, by simply telling myself, what did I do to attract it to myself, or what am I supposed to learn from it? And then finally, in the fourth, is understanding and staying connected to that which inspires me, through communicating to that which inspires me and allowing it to come through me in a world of more than enough, an abundant world where everything comes through me for others. Taking that context, number one, I need to utilize these values for my number one priority in life, which is my health, my number two priority in life, which is my family, and then my number three, which is the activities which I get paid for. And any combination thereof of how those can contribute and accelerate and exponentially, critically help me grow, that's the goal of what I do. And it's all through gratitude, empathy, accountability, and effective communication.
That's a great point, how it all works together. A lot of entrepreneurial people have this hard time with balancing their work-life balance, as some will call it. Now, in having everything work together hand in hand, how do you effectively make sure that you're paying the right amount of attention to your personal life, to your business, and of course to your family and your spirituality as well?
So I do that by lowering the bar because I believe in consistent behavior and the continuity between the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious. What I do is lower the bar and put minimums on the priorities that I have. So for example, health is my number one priority. So I put a minimum of 1 hour a day, minimum of 1 hour a day on my health. Next is my family, which starts with my wife, my kids, my mom, and then the rest of my family. And so I put a minimum amount of time. So for my wife, I put minimum of 30 minutes a day that I'm in contact with her. My son, who's 9 years old, I put a minimum of 30 minutes a day, which I'm in contact with him. My three teenage daughters, I asked for a minimum of 5, negotiated down to a minimum of 2 by their request. But every single day, I'm in contact with my teenage daughters for a minimum of 2 minutes a day. My mom is 1 minute a day, a minimum contact to make sure that two things she loves, that she knows that I love her, and two, that I appreciate her. And then from there, variance of degree for other family members. Then I move out into the activity I get paid for through my local, most relative community of my office, my city, my state, my country, and then the world, combining not only the activity I get paid for, but the activity that produces profit to come through me for others. Other people define that as philanthropy or humanitarian efforts. To me, it's the same thing, right? Like, I just don't understand or why you would distinguish one, work from not work, but two, where if money's flowing and money's flowing through you, why one thing would be philanthropic or not? Why is it more philanthropic for me to build two community centers in Africa compared to buying my daughter a car? I don't understand. As long as it's coming through me, not for me, I've reached the status of a philanthropist or a humanitarian because I'm empowering others to empower others to be happy. And that's essentially the goal of being able to create, to me, my biggest impact, which would be to create happiness in the world, actually creating world peace, actually effectuating the whole world simply by a mathematical equation of empowering 1,000 people in my life, truly empowering them with the skills to empower another 1,000, to empower another 1,000 to be happy. And as you know, simple math, 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000 is a billion. If I can empower a billion people to be happy, it's about 1/8 the earth. I think I can create a collective belief that will really create incredible impact on earth simply by teaching people to be happy. One of the big catalysts for me is that the number one cause of death in America of people under 50 years old is suicide, which means we have a happiness problem. Mm-hmm. That's about as easy as, but we don't got an opiate problem. We don't got a mental disease problem. We got a happiness problem. And people don't know how to empower others to empower others to be happy. And it's really because they've lost their values, in which are based upon one simple rule: be kind to your future self and do good deeds.
That is so important. Now, a point that you mentioned quite a few times is that there is activity that you get paid for, activity you don't get paid for, and there's no difference in business or personal when it comes down to it in that sense. Now, a lot of people do want to do good for the world, but they struggle to take care of their finances and do good for the world, and therefore they feel they can't always dedicate themselves to both. What do you think is effectively holding people back from just seeing activity as either paid or unpaid and allowing things to flow through them?
Well, it's receiving, right? People don't have a problem giving. People don't understand receiving. They don't feel worthy. They create resistance, void, shortages, and obstacles to receiving what is rightfully theirs, that abundant allowance that I'm talking about, by taking the appropriate action, as well as taking the appropriate traction and the aggressive behavior of allowing it to all happen through what you think, say, do, believe in the unconscious competencies. Their biggest problem is they have a resistance to receive, and they don't understand simple math. And the simple math states that you can't give what you don't have. And so I want to attract as much profitability as I can by utilizing activity I get paid for so that I have more to give. You know, it's a very simple math. I give more than I ever have, but percentageally, I have more than I ever have.
That's amazing. So to wrap it up, in your opinion, what sets apart a regular entrepreneur from a power entrepreneur?
I don't put judgments or conditions or separations via ego of inferiority or superiority. But what key component would I look at whether or not an entrepreneur is successful at their own objectives? It's simple acceleration and exponential growth. Acceleration and exponential growth will determine how far you will get. So no matter where you are today, that person that's focused in on accelerating, getting faster, and growing more will eventually, because of the exponential components of permeation of numbers, will beat you. So if we're racing, you and I could run a 20-minute mile and you could run a 5-minute mile. If you focus in on the 5-minute mile all times, you'll only run a 5-minute mile. If I focus in on being twice as fast and having twice as long of a stride, it's just a matter of time before I kick your ass.
Mm, that's great. All right. So David, how can the audience get in touch with you, whether they want to pick your brain or if they want to use your services?
You know, my whole goal is to be of service and to help others. So if anyone needs anything, all they have to do is reach out. Instagram at David Meltzer, Google David Meltzer, YouTube David Meltzer. My website's actually D Meltzer, first initial, last name. Pretty easy to find, but reach out to me. Go ahead. I answer everything myself. Let me know how I can be of service. I have listen to my podcast, The Playbook, download that. I have a TV show called Elevator Pitch, top business digital show, and learn how to pitch and make money. I also, am available with a ton of different videos on LinkedIn, David Meltzer as well. So just remember that name, David Meltzer. I'm here. It means beloved servant. I'm your beloved servant. Give me a call.
Thank you so much, David. It's been a pleasure connecting with you online and finally in person as well. Thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you, my friend. Great show. Take care.
Hey, you powerhouse. You made it to the end of the episode. Not everyone can do that. We really appreciate you listening to our show every week. If you enjoyed this episode, let us know. You can find us on social media by looking for The Power Entrepreneur. We're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, even Twitter. Look for The Power Entrepreneur or go to our website, thepowerentrepreneur.com. If you really, really love the podcast, I'd highly appreciate it if you went on iTunes right now and left us a review. It helps us way more than you know. Go out there and make it a powerful life.